All right. Today we want to talk and continue to talk about the sanctifying power of the blood. We're talking about the power, the sanctifying power of the blood. And I pray that this morning God will give us a powerful encounter, a powerful reality, and a powerful experience of that sanctifying power. Amen. So we looked at what the definition meant last week. I'm going to read it again. It says, it is where God sets apart something or someone for himself from evil use to be wholly used for him and his service. Say with me, wholly used. Partly used? Wholly used. Very good. Okay. And that's going to be important for today, what we're going to talk about today. All right. The Hebrew word, the Hebrew thought is that to sanctify is to make holy. So holiness, really, to sanctify is really, we're really talking about holiness, to be holy, to be separated from evil, to be separated unto God. So sanctification, holiness work hand in hand. So this morning, I want to open up and we're going to camp in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 10 to about 14. Okay, we're gonna really focus on these just a few verses here. And what is God looking? So we've looked at the means of sanctification last week, the blood, the water, the spirit. We talked about how faith is essential to receive or to tap into this sanctifying power, and all three agree as one. We're going to look at what does it mean to us? How can we practically approach this? And this is what we want to focus on this morning. So let's read from verse 10. It says, we have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burnt outside the camp. Let me pause for a moment here. What are we talking about here? We're talking about the sacrifices of the Old Testament. The altar that's found in the Old Testament. All right? Are you agreeing with me? You're with me so far? The high priest would burn it outside the camp when? In the Old Testament. There's an altar there. But verse 12, it says, therefore Jesus also. So when you see therefore, can you see that it's trying to do a sort of a comparison here from the Old Testament to what Jesus is doing? So here it says, therefore, verse 12, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him, where? Outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. I want to share three points this morning, okay? And the first one is, well, as we read that verse, it says in verse 12, it says, therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify, in verse 13, it says, because of what Jesus has done in verse 13, therefore, everybody say, let us go. Let us go. Where do we want to go? Are we going to be like... We're going to be like the story of the Bible. Let us make ourselves a name. Let us build a city. But this one is a different one. All right? Are you ready? Let us go. Where must we go? Point number one. Let us go unto him. Let us go unto Christ. Remember, we're talking about the sanctifying power. Let me read verse 12 again. It says, therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. The Bible tells us in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 8, it says, you shall keep my statutes and perform them. And everybody verbalize this last part with me. It says, I am the Lord who sanctifies you. In other words, I am the Lord who makes you holy. So where do we go? Where do we find holiness? How am I made holy? I've got to be separated from evil, but I've got to run to the one who makes me holy. And who is that? Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. All right, he's our holiness. He is our righteousness. So when we need holiness, where do we run to? Jesus. Is that first point clear? It's not nowhere else. We don't find it in a particular friend. We don't find this in some rules that we keep. We find it in Christ. So go to the sanctifier. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. That's the name of God revealed in Leviticus. All right? Adonai Mekadeshkem. All right. So the second thing here that I want to talk to you about here is, well, let us go to Him. Point number two. Let us go to Him outside the camp. Say with me, outside the camp. What does that mean to go outside the camp? I'm going to read that verse again. In verse 13 it says, therefore, let us go forth to Him outside the camp, bearing His reproach. As you can see there, I've got a bit of a map of Jerusalem at the time of Jesus here. And pay attention where the cross is. But before we talk about that, I want to read a verse in Leviticus. In fact, there are numerous verses in the Old Testament, especially in Leviticus, that talks about this. But in chapter 4, verse 12, when he talks about the sacrifice of the sin offering, the sacrifice of the animal, it says this in verse 12. Can you read it with me? It says, the whole bull he shall carry outside the camp to a clean place where the ashes are poured out, and burn it on a wood with fire. Where the ashes are poured out, it shall be burnt. If I were to read this whole section, it is referring to the sin offering. The bull, the animal, was slain, killed on the altar. All right, but then the bull would be taken, its body would be in its different parts would be taken outside. Say with me, outside the camp, and it will be burnt out there. It's outside the camp of the people. So what does it mean to us? It says to us in Hebrews, in the same way, Jesus went outside the camp. He went outside the camp. And please help me define, what is that outside the camp? What kind of place is that? It's a clean place. It was a plain, that is, place that is, clean. So in other words, when you say Jesus went outside the camp or outside the gate, what are we saying? He went out to a clean place. So what does it all mean to, let's look at first of all what it means to for Jesus. First of all, to Jesus, it means Jesus fulfilled this Old Testament verse by dying outside the camp, outside the city walls of Jerusalem. All right? Can you understand this so far? So he actually died outside the city walls, outside the gate, outside of the city itself. He went to Mount Calvary, Golgotha, where he was crucified. Why was that important for Jesus to die outside the camp? Because the camp, the city of Jerusalem that was called to be God's city of peace, that was called to build the temple, that was called to host the presence, were the very own people who were rejecting Him. The people, the Pharisees, rejected Him. They said many things that they didn't fulfill. They were about traditions. You know, Jesus said, watch out for the leaven of the Pharisees. Don't be like the Pharisees. Listen to what they teach, but don't do what they do. They have the outside of the cup clean, but the inside is not clean. There are people in Jerusalem, it became political, the Sadducees. It became a place of sin. It became a place of contamination. And so Jesus went outside the camp to a clean place. You say amen? So first of all, not only Jesus literally was outside the camp, but what he was doing, he was coming out from the contamination that was taking place in Jerusalem itself. The Bible says that Jesus came to his own and his own received him not. Jesus came to establish the new covenant, but the people didn't want that. Jesus was establishing new wine skin, but the people were stuck in an old wine skin. Jesus was fulfilling prophecy. But as Jesus tells those of the Pharisees, he says, you've killed the prophets. You are their sons. You do the same thing. Jesus was moving on from the old to the new, but the people were stuck in the old. It became a place of contamination, a place of sin. So there's a call, therefore. It says, therefore. Now, let me go back to those verses in Hebrews here, because it says, there is an altar which we have, these people don't have the right to eat. Why is that? Because now in the context of this verse, it's talking about Christians who are trying to be Christians, but also trying to keep the law of Moses. There's an altar in the Old Testament, but we have an altar. They got no right to eat from this one. There is an altar we have to run to. And it's not the one, the Mosaic covenant. It's not the rituals of the old. God is not the traditions of man. God is calling us out. So I want to challenge you and I this morning. As God calls us to be a sanctified people, Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. But what did he say? But you made it a den of thieves. So what God intended to be his place, his house, his city, it became contaminated. The camp became contaminated. This morning we're called to go to him outside the camp, outside the gate, to where he is, to what he is doing. So can I ask you this morning, and ask myself as well, are there things in our lives where God has shut the door and we're still trying to stay there? Come out to him outside the camp. Are there past failures that we are still holding on to? Let's get out of there. Let's go to him outside the camp. Is there any form of contamination that's been happening in our lives or in our environment? Get out of there. Let's go to him outside the camp. Is there some hurt that I can't let go? Are there things, am I resisting God in any way? Perhaps as the Pharisees and the Sadducees resisted Jesus. If there's anything of that, God is calling us this morning. Go outside the camp. Go to be with him. So are we ready to go outside the camp this morning to a clean place? So in other words, let's leave out the unclean place. What is that unclean place for you? What does that look like for you and for me? What are those things? Frustration, anger, bitterness, jealousy, envy, the works of the flesh. Go outside the camp. Go outside the camp, because there you will find Jesus, and Jesus is building his church. The last point I want to bring you to this morning is we've got to go to him. We've got to go to a place of consecration. To go unto him, to go outside the camp, outside the gate, to a clean place, we're to come to him in a place of consecration. We're talking about the sanctifying power of the blood. Now, what gives power to the blood to sanctify us? What gives power to the blood to sanctify us? It says in verse 12, I'm going to mention this here. It says, therefore, Jesus, that he might sanctify us. In order for him to sanctify us, what must he do? He must go outside the camp. In other words, he must separate himself from the contamination, from what's happening in the city. He must consecrate himself. He must sanctify himself. Jesus in John 17 says, "And for their sake, I sanctify myself, that they might be sanctified by the truth." So what gives power? He says, "In order for me to sanctify them, I sanctify myself." And he went outside the camp to a clean place. So the power of the blood is seen in the consecration of Jesus. There's a picture that I want you to see. If you can just stay there on that picture. I want you to see that picture because in order for him, in order for Jesus to fulfill what he did for us, he first had to go to a place called the Garden of Gethsemane. And what did he go there to do? He went there to pray. And he asked his disciples, at least he asked Peter, James, and John to come with him. And he was deeply sorrowful and distressed. And he said to, and he says, "Stay here, watch and pray. I'm going to go and pray." So what did he do? He went further and fell on his face and began to pray. What did he say? He said, "Oh, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." What was happening to Jesus here? It was a complete surrender of his will to the Father's will. He was to go, in order for him, he had to win this battle there at the Garden of Gethsemane so he could go outside the camp and die for us. So to sanctify us, to go out there, he consecrated himself. What is the power with that blood is the fact that he sanctified himself in order to sanctify us. And in what way did he do that? It was a complete surrender to the will of God. Say with me, the will of God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5 to 6. And just leave it there. I'm just going to verbalize it. It says, "Sacrifice and offering you didn't desire." This is in Hebrews. "But to for Jesus," it says, "but a body you have prepared for me." Say with me, "a body you have prepared for me." There's a body for Jesus. There was a body prepared for Jesus. And for what purpose? It continues and says, "In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure in those things. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O God." So here is Jesus. He's saying, this body that you have prepared for me was to do your will, O God. And so Jesus found himself in the Garden of the Gethsemane. Here he is, he says, to do your will. "A body you have prepared for me to do your will, O God." So let me repeat that again. If you can show the verse in John 17, verse 19. It says, Jesus, the power that lies in the blood is the fact that Jesus sanctified himself. He went outside the camp that he might sanctify us. John 17, verse 19 says this, "And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they may be sanctified by the truth." Now let me bring this last point here before we conclude in this. Jesus' body was prepared for him, right? To do the will of God. Do you agree with me so far? Now, in what way? He went outside the camp. You agreeing so far? Now, what was brought outside the camp in the Old Testament? The body of the animal sacrifice. Are you with me so far? The animal sacrifice was brought in the same way he was there outside the camp. Now, in order for me to sort of bring out what I want to say, and the thing that I believe is most important this morning, is let me show you the five offerings really quickly in Leviticus. We're not going to go through each one of them, but if you can help me, in the book of Leviticus, you will find five offerings in the first five chapters and a summary of them in chapters 6 and 7. Why don't you verbalize each one with me? So the first one is what? The burnt offering, found in chapter 1. Number 2, the grain offering, chapter 2. Verse chapter 3, the peace offering. Number 4, the sin offering. And the fifth one is the trespass offering. And the reason why it's in the Old Testament is because each of these sacrifices, each of these different aspects bring us ultimately to the perfect offering of Jesus. Each one of them depicts a truth of what Jesus accomplished on the cross. All right, but we're not going to look at each one of them. I just want to bring your attention to two of them. All right, and this is in relation to going outside the camp. So in these five offerings, I want to bring you to two of them, and I want to specifically mention the sin offering and the burnt offering. Let's look at what it says, and we read that earlier in Leviticus, but let's go to the sin offering, and let's look at Leviticus 4, verse 11 and 12, and this is what it says. Now remember, this is the sin offering, the animal. When you sin, you got to offer this as an offering to God. What and how must you do it? And look at this. It says in verse 11, "And the skin of the bullock and all his flesh with his head and his legs and his inwards and his dung, even though the whole bullock shall he carry forth without the camp or outside the camp unto a clean place, where the ashes are poured out and burn him on the wood with fire, where the ashes are poured out, shall he be burnt." So let me ask you again, where was the body, all right, of the animal taken? Outside the camp to a clean place. And he was burnt there. Fire. Jesus was consumed by the fire of the wrath of God. He was consumed and smitten by God, all right, outside the camp for our sake. Can you say amen to that? Now, if you pay attention to that, to this verse, you will find that what was taken outside the camp was the head, its legs, and its inward parts. And even the whole body, that all of that was taken, where? Outside the camp. And by the way, the inwards there, as you saw that, did you see the inwards? The inwards are the internal organs and stuff like that. You with me so far? So all of that was taken, the legs, the head, the body, those different parts were taken out and burnt there. Now, let me take you now to another aspect of the offering, the burnt offering, the next one. I'm getting somewhere here, okay? So hopefully you're following with me. I'm just trying to extract one particular truth that I want to bring out from these offering. In the burnt offering, so we looked at the sin offering. Now I want to talk a little bit about the burnt offering. And in Leviticus chapter 1, verse 10, well, I'm going to read it and then we're going to see what happens, okay? So it says, "If his offering is of the flocks of the sheep or of the goats as a burnt sacrifice, he shall bring a male without blemish. He shall kill it on the north side of the altar before the Lord, and the priest Aaron's son shall sprinkle its blood all around the altar." Now, the next part that I want to show you here, we're not going to read the verse, but I'm going to read it, but you're going to see it visually, okay? So, next one, please. You're going to follow with me as I go along. So, here's the animal, okay? In the burnt offering, this is what needs to happen. "And he shall cut it in its pieces with his head, its fat, and the priest shall lay it in the order of the wood that is on the fire upon the altar." So you got to cut the pieces here. So let me go one step behind, sorry. You got to cut into the pieces. You got to get the inward parts. Say with me, the inward parts. You want the head and the legs. Okay, don't think of steak here. Some of you are thinking of a steak tonight. Okay, stay with the, okay. All right. You have these parts, and what are you going to do with these parts? You got to lay them on the altar. Bring them on the altar for me, please. Oh, and we're gonna burn it. Okay, and what must you do? You must wash it, the inwards. You must wash all of that. You shall wash all the different parts, and you shall burn it. I don't know what's funny, but okay, all right. It's very graphic. Well, I'm hoping that it will help us to remember what the burnt offering looked like, kind of. Okay? But what I want you to see is they were to take those parts, the head, the legs, and the, in your Bible, in New King James, it says entrails, or in the King James, it says your inwards, your inward parts, the internal things. It says burn it on the altar. So when Jesus suffered out there, outside the camp, he was our burnt offering. He was offered to God. his hand, his legs, and his inward parts. He surrendered everything. And just as the sin offering, he was also outside the camp. He was burnt there outside the camp for us. Can you see so far what's happening here? So what am I saying is, let's bring it to Christ, is that not only a body was prepared for him, but the inward parts were also offered on that altar. Meaning, it's not just my hands and my legs. It's everything that was within him was offered on that altar. And that's the reason why as he wrestled, as he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, "Oh, if this cup will pass away from me, yet not my will, but your will." Psalms 51 verse 6 says, "Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in your hidden part you will make me to know wisdom." God desires truth in the inward parts. Proverbs 20:27, he says, "The spirit of the man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly." The inward parts. God is interested in the inward parts. How did Jesus rebuke the Pharisees in Luke 11:39? "Then the Lord said to him, 'Now you Pharisees make the outside of the cup and dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness.'" So in summary, what am I saying here? When we say, let us go outside the camp with him, where he was reproached, where he suffered, he was fully consumed, including the inward parts. What does that say to you and to me? If we want to go to Jesus outside the camp, all right, it means, first of all, leave that camp that's contaminated. And with everything that's within us, the inward parts, not just my hands, my feet. Okay, we'll get to that. Let me read Romans 12, verse 1, which we have referred to a lot in the past. But think about this, because how can we fully understand this verse if we don't understand what it was referring to? So what was it referring to? Well, let's read it first. In verse 1, it says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." So what is this that we're presenting to God? It is a living sacrifice. What are the sacrifices of the Old Testament? Oh, there's the burnt offering. Oh, there's the grain offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering. And in the ones that we looked at, we saw how the animal was consumed of the fire, including not only the head, the legs, and the bodies, but the inward parts. So when we go here and Paul is saying, present your body, the body that God has prepared, has given us for his will, is saying, I don't want you to just present your hands to do this. He says, I want you to present everything, including the inward parts. Sometimes we think that we lay our hands and feet on the altar, but the inward parts are not there. And this is exactly what happened in the Old Testament. Do you think so? God was not happy with the offerings that they offered to him. In fact, what does Matthew chapter 5 says in the Beatitude? He says, when you bring your gift to the altar. Now, what's the altar? The altar is the altar of sacrifice. You want to bring your gift to the altar. He says, wait. If you got a problem with your brother, leave your gift first. Go and reconcile yourself with your brother. Get yourself right. And then come and present your gift on the altar. So many times we want to bring gifts of service. We do all these things of service to God as a burnt offering that's meant to be a sweet-smelling aroma. But God is saying, before you do that, I need you to sort out the inward parts so that when we bring the offering, that is then, it's holy, acceptable, and pleasing in his sight. Can you say amen? Amen. I want to read really quickly here. I'm going to turn there. I don't have it on the screen, but it's in Psalms 51. And this is exactly, it's echoing what I've just said, but I feel like I do need to read the Bible verse. Okay, so it's found in Psalms 51, I think. Is it the one that I'm after, though? Verse 16 to 19. All right, I'm going to read that. So read it carefully, and hopefully this will stand out, what I've just said. It says, "For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings." So now do you see burnt offering? What is the language used here? Oh, I see this. But Jesus is our burnt offering. But now we offer to him offerings as well. Verse 17, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." So he's talking about the heart, the inward parts. Then in verse 18, "Do good in your good pleasure to Zion, build the walls of Jerusalem." And look at this, verse 19. "Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and the whole burnt offering, and they shall offer bulls on your altar." So can you see, he's like, I don't want sacrifices, but yet at the end he says, but then I will accept your sacrifice. But what's the difference between the first, the beginning and the end is the fact that God wants a contrite heart and a broken spirit. So what he's really saying is, yes, you offer your sacrifices, but the things that we are offering to God is not from the inward parts, is not being yielded there unto him. So, let me say this in closing here now. Do you know what else was taken outside the camp? In Leviticus 4:12, I'm going to read that again. And then we're going to go into Isaiah. So I want those two slides there. It's Leviticus 4:12. Look at verse 12. It says, read it with me, okay? There was something else. The body of the animal was taken there, was burnt there. The inward parts, all that stuff was burnt. But now I want you to see what else is taken here. Verse 12, "Even the whole bullock shall be carried forth without the camp unto a clean place." Keep reading with me. "Where the ashes are poured out and burn him on the wood with fire, where the ashes are poured out shall he be burned." What is taken there? The ashes. Now, what are ashes made up of? It's something that's burned into powder. The sacrifices were burned down and reduced to ashes, and that was taken out there to a clean place outside the camp. Jesus became ashes for us. He was completely burned for us, that in the ashes he might give us a hope and resurrection. In Isaiah 61, verse 3, it says this. I'm going to read verse 1 first, just to give you context. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor," and so on and so forth. You read in verse 2, the things you know how he did that, to preach the gospel and to set the captives free and so on and so forth. But look at verse 3, "to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes." When Jesus died there and became ashes for us, out of these ashes, Jesus resurrected and gave us resurrection life, eternal life. But it's out of ashes. God will give us beauty for ashes. But it was impossible for Jesus to offer himself as a burnt offering, to be consumed by God's wrath, to surrender his will completely to the Father, to offer himself as the sin offering that will atone us from our sin, to become fully burnt outside the camp, to become reduced to ashes. But how did he do it? Hebrews 9:14. "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God." How did he offer himself? By the Holy Spirit. What's the call for us this morning? The call in sanctification is that God is inviting us to go outside the camp where He is. But the place of outside the camp is a place where He what? It says He suffered there. It was a place of reproach, right? I'm not sure if many of us want reproach and suffering, right? Is that right? What kind of gospel am I preaching, right? But the Bible says, go outside the camp where He suffered and where he bore our reproach. And so what does it mean? It means that He completely consecrated, surrendered Himself. And if God is inviting us to be where He is, if it took Jesus to just surrender His entire will and burn everything that's within Him, to present every aspect, including the inward parts, His very deepest thoughts and emotions and will and affection for us, and all of that was laid on the altar, there's an invitation for each one of us this morning to come to God on the altar. The altar is a place of surrender. It's a place of selflessness, a place of sacrifice, a place of dying, a place of being consumed. Are we prepared to give ourselves entirely to be burned by God, to be consumed by God, to be reduced to ashes? Are we willing to present our bodies, not just some parts of our bodies, but are we willing this morning to present all the parts of our bodies, including the inward parts? I want to read Hebrews 13, 15, 16. So these are the continuing verses after going outside the camp. So after we go outside the camp and all of that, where He suffered, where He bore our reproach, He says what? In verse 15, therefore by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. This is the sanctifying power that's in the blood. Jesus sanctified Himself that He might sanctify us, that we would be with Him and go unto Him outside the camp, outside the gate, where He suffered, where He bore our reproach, where He completely surrendered Himself as a burnt offering, fully consumed by God's holy fire, reduced to ashes, for out of the ashes He gave us the best. So let us therefore go unto Him outside the camp in full surrender of our will, of our emotions, of everything that's within us, to be fully consumed by God as a sacrifice, wholly burnt, reduced to ashes, reduced to nothing. For He brings comfort to those who mourn, and He gives beauty for ashes. Can you say amen? It's a big, you know, even as I share this, do you know that this is not easy? It's not easy. I don't stand before you to say that I've reached, but I'm pressing forward to this goal. I want to invite you to stand. Let's stand to our feet this morning. You know, God is sanctifying a people for Himself. Do you agree with me so far? Yes. And when you look at what's happening, as we shared earlier, what's been happening in our city, You know, I believe pastors are willing to lay, leaders are starting to lay themselves on God's altar, to reduce to nothing. And out of that, we are seeing something beautiful happening in our state. Amen. So it is God's will for us to be sanctified. And for our sake, He sanctified Himself. So the first thing that I want to call each one, or appeal each one of us, to urge each one of us is to, yes, Lord, sanctify me. Make me clean. Make me holy. Separate myself. Let me be separated unto you this morning. And if you and I have this cry to be sanctified by the Lord, then the way of sanctification is also presented to us through the Scriptures. Are we willing this morning? Are you and I willing and really willing? And this is where we need to really take this to God. Are we really willing to go outside the camp? Do we know? Do we understand the measure of what it means to go outside the camp? To go outside the camp wasn't just like, oh, I'll go there for a bit, and if I'm not happy, I'll just run away, or I'll just go there for 5 minutes. No, for Jesus to go outside the camp, it was a complete surrender. Lord, would you help us this morning to lay everything upon the altar? Because in our surrender, we touch and access the sanctifying power that is in the blood. The power is ever living to set us free, to sanctify us. But are you and I willing to go outside the camp? That's the question this morning. And I hope that I've brought out these different elements of what it means for me to go outside the camp. Are we willing to leave those things inside, in the inward parts, that have turned sour, that are not right? Whether with God or whether with anyone. Are we boasting perhaps about the offerings that we bring to God on the altar? God is looking beyond that. Are we happy that we're building alliances with other church leaders and churches because we're building a name for ourselves or for God's purpose? Are we excited for unity movement so that our church can be on the radar? God is looking in the inward parts.